The lesson is found in Psalms, the 71st chapter, beginning at the first verse. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you.
The second reading is from Jeremiah, and you can find it on page 685. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "O God, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck you up and to pull you down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Linda. This week we're speaking of the call of Jeremiah. Next Sunday we'll have the call of Isaiah, that moment in the beginning of the career of the prophets where they heard from God that they would be sent. They would be sent to do things. And typically, with good prophets, the first response they have to God is, "Oh God, not me." Moses did that. Isaiah does that. Jeremiah. They all three are like, hold on. No. You got the wrong guy. And there's a very definite sense of sort of a wallflower attitude, if you will, the reluctant prophets. And it actually speaks well of their character and their faith that they see the enormity of the task of sharing God's word. It's a pretty big task. But as I read through the two call stories, and I'm working on my book on Moses, and I've been looking through his call story this week too, it reminded me of the thing I'm most reluctant to do in public, which is dance. Because I wouldn't even say I have two left feet. I'm an idiot at dance, and many of you know this. It's either the bottom half moves or the top half moves. I can't do both, it looks goofy when I try. I don't dance. Sure, you know, just like any other guy from high school, I'll put a hand here and a hand here and sway back and forth. I can do that. But then sooner or later, I get bored, and that's it. But I remember, gosh, this was so long ago. It's so foggy. Back in Columbia, South Carolina, we had friends nice people. And we used to, before we had kids, we would occasionally babysit their child on weekends when they had getaways. And we were very close with this little kid. She was just a diamond. She was a wonderful lady. Wonderful little girl who's probably now approaching 30. But anyway, we went to a party. I believe it might have been a party for her baptism. And we were not, I don't know how to put this, my 20-something-year-old wife and I were not typical of the circle that these people moved in. But they were great people, and we were invited to this party, the post-baptism party, and it took place at one of those kind of converted warehouse, bar, nightclub kind of establishments where, you know, they moved the lathes out. The floor is still soaked in oil, but by golly, we got us a restaurant, you know. And so I remember oil-soaked wide plank flooring and industrial skylights and linen tablecloths and fluted glasses. It was just a complete non sequitur. And there's a DJ there playing music, sinking ever deeper into desperation because the people who are at this party are not the sorts of people who allow for public displays of this nature. Thank you very much. And the hostess came to us at one point and said, you know, I can't believe nobody is dancing. I can't believe nobody is dancing. And I could believe it. I could definitely believe it. But so I know the host and the hostess and their little infant daughter and nobody else. Nobody else, right? Okay. So the DJ, the last thing he's going to do before he falls on the spindle and does himself in, he happens to throw on a Grateful Dead tune. It was one of the 48-hour versions of Not Fade Away by Buddy Holly. And how many of you have ever been to a Grateful Dead show? Raise your hand if you... Joe, Rick, George, and I have been to a Grateful... And Tony! All right, Tony. Have been to a Dead show. Now, you can dance to the Grateful Dead because it's not dancing. It is an epileptic seizure of sorts. It's... But a slow one. But a slow one. And you do this sort of... And you pretend you're half out of your mind if you're not half out of your mind. And you just kind of bob and weave around. And so Teresa looks at me and I look at her. And we figure, we know nobody here. We're never going to see these people again. Why not? And we go out there and we say, bop, bop, bop. We're hopping around and doing this thing. And the DJ's loving it. So he puts on, like, you know, a block of Grateful Dead tunes. You know, and 45 minutes later, our aerobic workout done, feel the burn. We come off the dance floor. We had done our thing. And a few other people did actually come out and dance, too. They stayed all the way over to the other side, but... And so Teresa and I said our thank yous and we left. And later Teresa told me, you know, the hostess who will remain nameless, she came up to me and she said, everybody's asking me, who's that guy out on the dance floor? And Teresa loves me dearly, so she didn't put in part two of, and doesn't he need medical attention? But dancing to the Grateful Dead means your limbs are all akimbo, and you abandon yourself, and you just kind of twirl around, like, do your thing, hopefully without pharmaceutical enhancement, and you twirl and bob and weave, and it's freeing. It's a very free spirit sort of thing to do. And on that one occasion, I danced with abandon. I was not a wallflower on that one occasion. And Jeremiah's call reminds me of that because it was a tough time that God was looking for a prophet. Judah had not yet been invaded by a foreign troop, but the time was coming real quick. And these people were oblivious. They were oblivious to the threat, and there were a few temple priests who were just saying, everything is wonderful, and essentially preaching what is today called the prosperity gospel of God wants you to be rich, God wants you to be blessed, and kicking the poor people over in the corner. Get out of view of the cameras. And so Jeremiah knows what God is searching for. Jeremiah knows God is searching for someone to come in, blow the whistle, and say, wait a minute, we're way off course. We're way out of line. That's not where real joy will be found. God is looking for someone like Jeremiah to come and speak truth. And he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. Because there's a popular gospel out there that most wasn't gospel at that point. It predates Jesus. But there's a popular religion out there that is narrowly defined and very narrow in what it will do to help people, and exceedingly clueless. And Jeremiah's got family to think about. He's got his circle of friends to think about. And the last thing he wants to do is make a spectacle of himself. And so he initially says, not me, God. I'll be over there against the wall watching what's going on or what's not going on. Not me, but God convinces him. And Jeremiah becomes a prophet we still talk about nearly 3,000 years later. His life was not easy. That reminds me a lot of faith in general. Because in truth, we got a huge God. And there's a lot of forms of faith that'll keep us moving down the path toward God. A lot of forms of faith that'll do this. And I'm kind of an oddball. A few of you are aware of this. I'm sort of an oddball in my faith, and I think my faith, if I had to do some form of interpretive dance, thank you, God, that I don't have to, would look like a Grateful Dead dance. I'd be twirling like an idiot with my arms and legs all over the place, like, oh, and just spinning around and feeling the wonderful vibe of God in the room and trying to open myself entirely to God. And, hey, someone else want to dance? Come along. Let's have some fun. And, no, I can't dance either. But then you knew that. That is my faith. It is a sometimes kind of radical, sometimes kind of open, sometimes kind of weird and surprising thing. And online and in person, there are a lot of people who think I need medical attention because of my faith. There are a lot of people who think I'm crazy. And stop me if you got a story to tell, because I know it happens to some of you too. You know how it is sometimes when you get done having a religious conversation with someone and you feel like they've just stuck a spear straight through your heart or banged you over the head, or tripped you up and made you fall, or, which is good, really challenged you in some way. So many of us are Christian wallflowers because we're afraid of getting hurt like that. We're afraid of that conflict. And in truth, the human soul is a delicate and a tender thing which is easily bruised. And we don't like to bruise our souls. I will tell you, the human soul, though, is not easily broken. And we need to gain confidence in the faith that God has given us. We need to gain confidence in the dance that's being called just for us. Now, this is why we're going to preach this sermon series during Lent. Because we have in this room about 125 angels, 125 messengers of God, each with their own unique message that God wants them to share, each with their own unique ministry that God wants them to take part in, wants you to take part in. Each of us is being called to the way we dance to God's tune. And I thought, what a wonderful idea it would be if we could just pretend for a minute that we didn't know anybody else in the room and we would never see him again, and we just went for it. If we just tried to hear God talking to us, hear what God is saying, and really follow through, really say, okay, God, it can be me. Now, Jeremiah started out by saying, no, I'm just a boy. God's answer to him was, don't tell me you're just a boy. I'll give you what you need to have. I'll take you where you need to go. And I'll show you what I want you to do. Now, God says that to you and me. You're not just a boy. You're not just a girl. You're not just a teenager. You're not just an old man. You're not just any of those other things. You're not a just at all. You're a child of God. You're a child of God who can move, who can pray, who can minister, who can love, who can inspire, who can change the world for God. So if you sometimes feel like a Christian wallflower, you sometimes feel like you're just standing there leaning against the wall, watching everything else going on. The next 7 or 8 weeks are going to be your opportunity to maybe figure things out, to maybe finally hear the tune that you're to dance to, maybe learn some steps, or maybe just get permission from the rest of us. Now, I mean Lent to be a big deal this year. It's such a big deal that I'm skipping the first Sunday of it. But even that has purpose. By my not being here that first Sunday, and our other professional Christian here, the other one with the Rev in front of her name, also not taking a central role, you guys get to play. You guys get to dance. And I'm going to come in behind that, and we're going to talk about ways to pray so you could maybe hear even better from God. And we're going to talk about ways to read Scripture so maybe you can unlock more truths meant just for you. And we're going to talk about ways to see yourself as a minister. And we're going to end it all on Palm Sundays with Joan and I figuring out ways to play. And then on Easter, we're hoping for new blossoms. Doesn't that sound cool? Doesn't that sound like fun? Now, I know you have your regularly scheduled lives, and those lives might include things like surgery and recovery. It might include all kinds of things. This is for you as well. This is for you as well. I just learned this week that I'm going to have foot surgery. And for 6 weeks, my right foot's going to be in a cast, which means for 6 weeks, I can't drive. And my dear friend and colleague, and often pastor to me, Joan Barron, said, Corey, you need to pray, you need to thank God for this, and you need to figure out what the heck God is doing here. And I think I figured it out. This is the year where we said, we're going to have this congregation faithfully learn to stand on their own 2 feet. And we're going to do it by knocking your pastor off of his. Doesn't that sound like God? So, if you are a Christian wallflower, I would ask that over the next few weeks, you spend a little bit of time reflecting over those things you can do, those things you already have in your bag of tools, those places where there is a cry for ministry where you're within reach. And then, I want all of us together to learn a new way to dance. Get out on the floor. And with great joy, just as on that day, I went out and danced so I could see a dear friend's smile. That's the whole reason I went out on the dance floor, to get a smile on the face of a very good friend. I want to see us get out on the dance floor and look up to see God smiling. That'll be wonderful, my fellow wallflowers. What do you say? Who's in? You guys in? You want to do it? Yeah, maybe. Okay. If I have to. Let's see. No. Let's all do something different. Let's all do something we haven't done before. Bob's going to be talking about this more in a couple of weeks. And I hope that all of you, when he's done talking, will stand and roar and clap in joy and carry on as if you're never going to see each other again. And it doesn't really matter. Let's go forward in faith. Let's go forward in the faith God gave each and every one of us. Let's dance to the tune, not caring who sees, but only that we can bring a smile, we can bring a change of heart, we can bring a little more of God's love into our world. Wallflowers no more. Amen.